Well, good morning to each one. Bring you Christian greetings from the church at Myerstown. It's good to be here to worship you this morning and to see your faces again. I've said it many times. Waterworks is great, but I miss you guys, so it's good to be back here with you this morning. Question. How many of you had your names written in the front page or up inside the cover of your Bible? Do you know is your name written there? Okay. As I was thinking about this, I stood to pray at Marathon last week, and I looked down, and I was sitting behind Jairus Musser, and his name is written on the outside cover of his Bible. How many have your name on the outside cover of your Bible? Oh, good, good. None of you. So that Bible with your name in, that's your personal Bible. If someone goes and looks and finds that Bible and opens it up and says your name in, then we know whose Bible that is. Some of you students or children are headed back to school soon, and maybe you're going to write your name in your book, your math book, your history book. You open your book and you write your name in. That way it doesn't get confused with your classmates. You had your book, your name inside your book. When you go to the library, whether it's here at church or the library in town, and you sign out a book to take home to read, if you open the cover, inside the book is, guess what, the name of the library. That way, when you're done reading it, it's not who that book that is anymore. That way, when you're done reading it, you know where to return it. Maybe some of you have a library at home. And if you open that cover, if I borrow your book, it might have your name in or someone from your family. And I know when I'm done reading that book, I know where that book belongs. So much for your libraries and your school books and so on. But there's another book where I trust your name is written. There's another book. Unfortunately, we can't go there and look at the moment. But the question is, that book, the name of that book is called The Lamb's Book of Life. And in that book, where Heavenly Father keeps a clear record of all His children's names, in the Lamb's Book of Life. Recently, there's been a song going through my mind. Actually, it's kind of stuck in there. Not a song we have been singing recently. Not a song we sing a lot. But the name of the song is My Name Written There? And that's why I have this book up here. It's the only book in your rack that has the song in. The Worship and Song Book, number 245. Is my name written there on the page white and fair? In the book of thy kingdom, is thy name written there? And that song asks a question, which is the title of the message this morning, is my name written there? Later in the song, tell me, Jesus, my Savior, is my name written there? And the song asks a question. And the question that it asks is not intended to make us doubt nor question our salvation, but instead to motivate us to know if it is there and to avoid making mistakes that will cause our name to be blotted out of the book of life. So we're going to look at a number of verses this morning. Bear with me if you want to turn to them when I get there, you can, or if not, I will read them. But look at a number of verses and answer a few questions. Question number one, is there a book of name in a book of names in heaven? Number two, is my name written there? The third one question is, are their names ever removed from this book? And the fourth one is not necessarily a question, but rewards of having my name in the book of life. So this morning, may we be inspired by knowing, kind of jumping ahead here by telling you this, by knowing there is a book where our names are written, and may we be motivated by the thought of heaven to live a pure life for the Lord so that we will one day experience a reward for having our name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Back to the first question, is there a book of names in heaven, or did the songwriter here, Mary and Frank, just decide that? But is it just an idea that they had, or is there a name of books, a book of names in heaven? Turn to Daniel chapter 12 for two verses, please. And what we have here is Old Testament prophecy. So we're going to start in the Old Testament, But there's a time coming. Daniel 12, verse 1 and 2. At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as was never was since there was a nation, even that same time, a time shall be, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. At that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be written, shall be found written in the book of life. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. What we see here is there is a time a coming, a time of trouble, trouble that was never known before. And along with this trouble that is coming, we see deliverance. Some people are going to experience distress, and some will experience deliverance. At that time, the verses tell us, thy people shall be delivered. Back up. Who are thy people? And thy people are the people whose names are found written in the book. The children of God, the family of God, will be delivered from this time of suffering. Verse 2, the graves are going to open. The dead are going to rise out of their graves. If you can picture this, it's also written in the New Testament. But we see two different destinations of the people in the end of verse 12. Those whose names are found written in the book of life will be delivered from the days of trouble and will be ushered into everlasting life. And those others whose names are not in the book will be sent to everlasting torment. So the question we're looking at this morning, is there a book of names in heaven? And the answer is yes, there is. And Jesus Christ is keeping track of all the names in this book of life. So Daniel, as I mentioned earlier, is Old Testament prophecy. Jump back in your New Testament now to Luke chapter 10. And here we see some verses of Christ from the New Testament. Luke chapter 10, I'd like to read verses 17 through 20. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us to thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on the serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. In verse 1 of this chapter, we find Jesus sending out 70 chosen men, and gave them specific instructions. Later, what we see here in verse 17, they return, and they were amazed, and they're telling the Lord, Lord, even the devils were subject to us through your name. They were surprised at what they were able to do with the power that Jesus had given them. Verse 19 is a great promise. I am with you. Nothing is going to harm you. I am giving you power over the enemy. But don't get too excited about that the devils are subject to you. Rather, instead of all that, get excited or rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Yeah, so, gentlemen, power over the evil spirits is amazing. And yes, that's something to mention, but that power is of little importance when compared to the fact that your names are written in that book in heaven. So, verse 19, try to imagine walking, say treading, on snakes and scorpions. I don't think the ladies this morning would appreciate this opportunity. Plus, power over the evil spirit. And if that's not enough, the promise that the Lord is going to be with you and nothing is going to harm you. I think we should be excited. Praise the Lord for his power. But on top of all the power that he's given to us, remains the fact that the child of God has his or her name written in the book in heaven. So these men come back and say, hey, Lord, this is amazing. He said, yeah, it could be. But guess what? Rejoice. Jarrell mentioned, we talked about rejoicing this morning in his devotional. We're supposed to rejoice that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you, Jesus, for taking the time to put it there. Our Heavenly Father knows what we are doing at all times. He's aware of our deeds. You know, he's keeping track of your life in the Book of Heaven. So your name is written there. There's a list of deeds recorded under it in the Lamb's Book of Life. Yes, there is a book with names in heaven. The question is this morning, is my name written there? There's a book is my name written there? And it'll bring us to the second point, the second question, is my name written there? So let's go to some familiar verses back in John 3. And here we have some verses you could probably quote by memory. John 3, 15 through 17, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not a Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. Verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Is your name written there? When a sinner repents of their sin, their corrupt lifestyle, and accepts Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and believes that Jesus is the Son of God, their name is written in the book of life. When we tell Jesus we're sorry for our past, and ask him to dwell within our hearts, Jesus will write our names in this special book. Jesus said, whosoever believes in me will not perish. They will not die. They will not experience an eternal death, but instead, we are promised eternal life. So if we back up prior to this, our Heavenly Father saw the sinful condition of man. Unrighteous man was separated from God, but God had a desire to restore that relationship with him, with the people he had created. So he sent Jesus Christ, his one and only Son, to this earth to die for our sins, to restore that relationship. And today, whosoever believes in God's Son, in Jesus Christ, is promised eternal life. Heaven is prepared for those who say yes to Jesus. Heaven is prepared for those whose names are written in this book of life. And that helps us understand why Jesus told the 70 in Luke to rejoice that your names are written in heaven. This means that all, including the 70 there in Luke 10, who are chosen salvation through Jesus Christ, are forgiven and have the hope of everlasting life in heaven. And I trust that's the reason you're here this morning. Yes, we're here this morning to worship the Lord, but within your very being is the hope of a happy, fulfilled life in heaven with Jesus Christ, and your desire to learn to know him better on this side of eternity. You take the Word of God, you read it, you understand what he wants for us. Is your name written there? Those who do not believe in Jesus Christ do not have the hope of eternal life in heaven, because as we saw there in John 3, only those who believe will experience the beauty of the home in glory. Is your name written there on the page white and fair? In the book of thy kingdom is thy name, is my name written there? And your name is written there in the book of life if you are a child of God. If you did have said yes to Jesus, if you love him, if you're obedient to his commands, and if you're following him faithfully, are we faithfully following the Lord? The book of is called the book of life because everlasting life is promised to all whose names are written in the book. Third question, are names ever removed from this book? And you could ask the question, why would names be removed from this book? Then you read verses like 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And here we see the long-suffering of our Lord, for which we are thankful and grateful for. Plus, we see his desire that every soul would be saved. The Lord doesn't want to see one person sent away from the streets of gold. So with these thoughts in mind, are names ever removed from the book of life? You know, we say yes to Jesus, he writes our names there. Are names ever removed? I'd like to go back to the Old Testament, to Exodus 32. I'd like to read a few verses to you. Exodus 32, verse 30 to 35. And it came to pass in the morrow that Moses said unto the people, you have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up unto the Lord. Peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin, and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of the book which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Therefore, now go, Lead the people unto the place which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, mine angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them. And the Lord plagued the people because of the calf, because they made the calf which Aaron made. So you remember the account where Aaron and the children of Israel made this golden calf, and they worshipped it as Moses was up in the mountain receiving the Ten Commandments from the Lord. So Moses come down, and he sees what they did. He's unhappy, obviously, with what they have done. So he said, I'm going to go talk to the Lord about this. So Moses asked the Lord, Lord, just forgive these people for what they have done. Then he took a step further and said, Lord, if you cannot forgive them, then remove my name out of the book of life. And I look at that, and I asked a few more questions. Moses, did he think three times before he said this? Was he really willing to pay this price for the sin of the people? Sure, he won the Lord's forgiveness, but if not, was he willing to have his name removed from the book of life? And I think I get the picture that Moses was expecting the Lord to forgive the people. But the Lord didn't directly answer Moses' comment, but he said, Moses, those who have sinned will have their names removed from the book of life. I mentioned earlier that the Lord knows our deeds. The Lord knows exactly where you're at today, where you will be tomorrow. And here that thought is confirmed. The Lord knew that Moses was innocent, but he was also aware of those who were not. So what we see here is sin, unconfessed sin, will remove a person's name from the book of life. You go back in the Gospels and we find that Jesus did not preach a once saved, always saved gospel. That's not the gospel and message that he was preaching. Those whose names are in the book of life are living a life of victory. And their names will stay there. But living a life of sin will separate the sinner from God, and their names will be removed from the book of life. Matthew 7:21, Jesus said, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. We're serving a jealous God. And he's not willing to share his loyalty with another. And idolatry is unacceptable and will be punished. Now turn to Revelation, which is probably where you thought we were going to start. But we'll be back in Revelation for a little bit, a few verses I'd like to look at. Revelation 21:27. Here we can get a lot of heaven here. And jumping in, just picking out a few verses here and there. Revelation 21:27. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither who whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Some places you go, you need tickets to get in. Here, nothing's going to enter into heaven except if your name is written in that Lamb's book of life. The Lord has a desire to see salvation for everyone. We saw that from Peter. He wants everyone to be saved, but he has set limits and boundaries and given commands to his children. Just because we can say, Lord, Lord, doesn't guarantee us a seat around the throne in glory. But heaven is reserved for those who are doing the will of God on this side of eternity. In Revelation 21:27, we see no sin will not enter heaven. Neither will any wicked thing or evil person be permitted to enter through the gates into the new city. If you look at Revelation 21:8, here we see a list of evil that's not going to enter heaven because they are deeds of the enemy. They will be set to the lake of fire. So back to the book of life, we see in 21:27, the book of life is a family register in heaven listing the names of the saved who steadfastly resist the temptation to apostasy and who will stand in the day of judgment. And I trust that each one here this morning, saved, we're not going to fall away and we'll stand in the day of judgment. The names of the children of God or the family of God are listed in the book. The saved will be welcomed into heaven. Those whose names are not found in the book of life, according to Revelation 20, verse 15, will be cast into the lake of fire. I'll read that. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Heaven is a home prepared for a pure people. One of the Beatitudes, Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall what? They shall see God. The pure in heart will meet the Lord face to face. Heaven is a place for people whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Back to the song, where no evil thing cometh to despoil what is fair, where the angels are watching, the question is asked, is my name written there? And then we get to the fourth thing I like to look at, the reward for having our name in the Book of Life. And we know, maybe you heard the song, all who call upon the Lord will no doubt be saved. Reward for having your name there. Whosoever believes in me shall not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3. And the believer's name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you're in Revelation, go to chapter 3. I'd like to read another verse. Chapter 3, verse 5. As we think about the reward for the faithful. And this verse was written to the church of Sardis, but I believe it applies to the church at Waterwork today. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Before the rewards are given, there is one requirement. Verse 5 is a promise to the overcomers. You need to be an overcomer. Then we could ask the question, okay, but what is an overcomer? In order to overcome something in your life, you first of all need to have a struggle or a conflict. The overcomer is a person who overcomes a struggle and gains the victory over their conflict, which is anything that has taken their attention away from the heart of Christ. Are you an overcomer this morning? The overcomer may still face temptations, but they will not fail back into the same sin they have overcome, because that victory has been won and their lives have been cleansed by the blood of Christ, and that sin is no longer alive because victory has been claimed. Verse 5, the promise is for those who are overcomers. And the strength and power to be an overcomer is available in Christ and Christ alone. I spoke recently in Myerstown, and actually it was on this verse, and afterwards somebody came through the line and she said, it was she, and I think she had in her mind what she wants to put on her gravestone, but she said, you know, I might change that and put on an overcomer. Are we overcomers this morning? Are you an overcomer? Yes, that means, I'm telling you, that means that you had in your past had a conflict and a struggle in your life, and you have overcome them. That is behind you. You are pressing forward. The overcomer has promises here from Revelation 3, verse 5. The rewards, dressed in white clothing. We promise that he promised that your names will not be removed from the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus will acknowledge your name before the Father, before Father God and the angels. He's going to stand up there and say, your name, as you are welcome into heaven. Think back to that chapter in Luke. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Now we can add, rejoice that Jesus will confess your name in the presence of God and his angels. Heaven is a place, the final resting place, for the overcomers. Are you an overcomer this morning? Some more verses from Revelation 21, verses 1 through 7, John speaking, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these things are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give them to him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Verse 7, he that overcometh, here we have it again, shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. John tells us that he saw the new heaven and the new earth. John saw the holy city. John caught a glimpse of our eternal home. John saw what we have been longing for.
John saw the eternal home that's prepared for the overcomers. Verse 3, he heard a voice in heaven, and that voice gives us promise here this morning. God will be with men. God's going to dwell with the overcomers. Yes, we're going to be his people, and God himself is going to be with us. He will be our God. Verse 4, the overcomer is one who conquered, we talked about that, conquered their struggles and conflicts. And here it says, God's going to wipe away tears from our eyes. The very face of God is going to be within 30 inches of our face as he reaches out and wipes tears from our face. This is a promise for who? For the overcomers. For those whose names are written in that book of life. Are you an overcomer? In heaven we see there's going to be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. The pain's going to disappear. The former trials of life that we face on this earth will be gone. There'll be no more need for hearing aids, glasses, crutches, wheelchairs, doctors, and hospitals, and the list could go on. We're going to leave this world behind and step across the threshold into the very presence of God. Who? The overcomers. Those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Verse 5, all things are going to become new. Verse 6, God's going to give us a drink to those from the fountain of the water of life. Brothers and sisters, the waterworks, I don't know what your week was like this week. Hopefully you had a very, very good week, but most likely a challenge or two. And at times life may get discouraging, but please remember one thing, just one thing for the moment, if you can. Here it is, heaven will surely be worth it all. And heaven is promised for you and for everyone who accepts Jesus Christ as their Savior, for those who have overcome. Those swimming about in the puddle of sin will not meet with us in glory. There'll be no bitterness in glory. No hard feelings in glory. That's not allowed to enter. Revelation 21:8 and 21:27. Nothing that defileth. No one who worketh abomination. No. Only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Verse 7, back at 21, chapter 21. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. Here again, the requirement is given before the reward. The overcomer is the recipient here. They will inherit all things. You see, the born-again believer is adopted into the family of God. What is God's now will also belong to the overcomer. You will inherit all things. He's going to be our God, and we will be his sons and daughters. There is coming a day, and the question this morning is my name written there? Is your name written there? I'd like to read you a few verses from 2 Peter 3, verses 8 through 14. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years is one day. In the verse I read earlier, the Lord's not slack concerning his promise, and some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works thereof therein shall be burned up. Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation, godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of God, wherein the heavens shall be on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth. We just read that in Revelation 21, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things. Okay, here we go. This is what's going to come to pass. This is what is going to happen, and we know that. So seeing that we know that, here we are. Be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And that's our responsibility as we journey through earth on this side of eternity. One more responsibility, verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. As we're getting to know him better on this side of eternity, are we growing in grace? Are we growing in our knowledge of our Lord and Savior? Because one day, soon, we're going to meet him face to face. Oh, that beautiful city with its mansions of light, with its glorified beings and garments of white. In that book of that kingdom, Yes, my name is written there. The promises that God has in His Word will stand. But God is serious when it comes to His requirements. He gives you and I requirements. We need to follow them. The names of all the children of God will be read from the Lamb's Book of Life in the Day of Judgment. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, our names are written there. When we live a pure life, our names will remain there. When we stand before God on Judgment Day, He will welcome home all His children into the glories of heaven. And we will sing around the throne, sing praises to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, heaven will surely be worth it all. And the question is my name written there? We're going to stand for a prayer and then stay standing for a closing song. Father, we come before you this morning just with grateful hearts that you have it spelled out so clearly what your requirements are in your word. And Lord, I also have you tell us very clearly of the home and glory that we can look forward to. And I pray this morning that each soul here this morning could be an overcomer. They could have a pure heart. They could be fulfilling your commands and your requirements and be prepared to meet you face to face. Thank you for your promises, which we know will be true. And help us, Lord, just to go through life with our focus on heaven, our eternal home, and live a life that's pleasing to you. In your name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Song.